Episode 1265, My Strength is My Story with Tiffany Benyako. Lose the cape.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people. Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and I am so excited. We have on with us an incredible, adorable woman on a mission. Her name is Tiffany Benyako. You are going to love her heart. She is phenomenal. I'm just telling you, stay tuned. It's all about Lose the Cape. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Tiffany's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Today's episode is brought to you by Health, Hope, and Inspiration with Reverend Percy McRae, a podcast created by Cancer Treatment Centers of America to provide cancer care information and resources to the faith-based community. Weekly, you will hear interviews with leading oncology professionals, dietitians, nutritionists, pastors, and everyday people who share their life experiences with cancer. If you dare to be encouraged and have your heart warmed, you'll want to tune in weekly to the podcast by subscribing at healthhopeandinspiration.com. Well, Tiffany and I had a fabulous conversation. It was just one of those things where you knew it was right. Now, I got to tell you, I apologize for a few audio technical difficulties, but when it's real and raw, you can't redo that. You're going to hear this woman's heart when it comes to divorce, parallel parenting, and what fills her life with joy. And there is so much to her. She is full of life. She is full of energy. And I cannot wait for you to meet Tiffany Benyako with Lose the Cape. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited to have on this extraordinary woman. Her name is Tiffany Benyako. She is a wife of 6 years, mom to her 12-year-old daughter and 22-year-old son. Being previously divorced herself, she understands the complications that go with it. Tiffany uses her voice to reach and support parents struggling with co-parenting. Her work has introduced many parents in the U.S. and abroad to parallel parenting, a form of shared parenting for high-conflict parents. Tiffany is a mentor and writer. She's been featured in Huffington Post, along with several other online parenting and divorce journals. And she also writes on her blog, beunrehearsed.com. She is also an author with 20 other women with their brand new book out, Lose the Cape, No More Superwoman. Oh, no, it's not. Ain't nothing but a teen thing. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
Awesome. I am so, so glad to be here. I listen to you every single morning. So my daughter hears the song, that your intro song, and she automatically knows, you know, let me step away so my mom can listen to her podcast. So I am so grateful to be here.
Oh, it's such an honor. Yes, we do go a little bit back. Let's talk about just a minute so people understand kind of our connection. How were you introduced to me?
Wow. So probably a couple of years ago, I was just searching for podcasts, you know, for women and everything. And I ran across yours. And I've been listening since then. So it's been 2-3 years maybe. And 2 years ago, I think it might have been around October. That's how specifically I remember these things. I remember because at the end of your podcast, you always say, you know, you offer the free coaching call. I got a free gift for you. It's free coaching call. And one day I was like, wow, you know, I've been listening to her say this for quite some time. Maybe I should take her up on her offer. So I called, filled out the form on your site and everything. And the thing I was most wondering about was, is she going to sound exactly like she sounds on the podcast? And I think I even said that to you when we got on the phone. I was like, oh my God, you sound exactly the same. And so that is how our relationship started.
Yeah. And it was such a sweet
start to a beautiful relationship. And when I saw you come into the feed of mine, I think it was on Facebook, and I saw that you were one of many authors in this book called Lose the Cape. I was like, I have got to have Tiffany on. I mean, there's no question about it. So I'm here to say you have been part of our family, but I want you to know that you are home, girl.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, all right. Well, we've got to first start with what brings joy to your heart?
Oh, wow. When I think about joy, it takes me back to when I got divorced, and that was not a joyful period in life. And so during that time, I really didn't think or know even if I would be able to find joy again, kind of thing. And so I went on this journey, I guess, you know, doing self-care and all these different type things, and found that joy is something that, you know, it's inside of you. It's not anything on the outside that's going to bring it. It's something that, you know, you really have to start on the inside with. And so now being remarried, taking the simple things like laughing, I mean, and it can be something silly and those type things now, because I took the time to develop the joy in myself. And so now I'm kind of like reaping the benefits of it now. And so I think about family. My 12-year-old brings us lots of joy because she's just funny, you know, just with her personality. She's our extrovert, so she's our social butterfly. And, you know, she does a lot of things that make us all laugh. So things, you know, family brings joy to me. Friends, you know, growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was pretty much a loner. But, you know, going on this journey to self-care and everything, I have grown, you know, to get more friends now. And so those friends bring me joy. Being outside on a sunny day, I'm here in Georgia, so we get a lot of sunny days. So being outside in the sun with family and friends, those type things, that brings me joy.
Oh, that's beautiful. And it's just that warmth, isn't it? When you're around your family and friends and you have a joy-filled heart, you can't help but lead your everyday with joy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's like having a different appreciation of things now, taking a different outlook on things. And you know, that brings me joy. We do a lot of things with our church as well. And just interacting with like-minded people, those type things bring me joy as well.
Well, during your divorce and during that journey and kind of really finding yourself, what opened your heart to serving others in similar circumstances?
Wow. I think the big turning point for me was going through a divorce, hear lawyers and judges and all these different people telling you that you're the only way is to co-parent. And so when you think of that term co-parent, it's like, oh, okay, so we have to get along kind of thing, right? For me, ours was not like that. Obviously, when people get divorced, they divorce for several different reasons. And one of those reasons could very well be that they simply don't get along. Now, that doesn't make you lazy or selfish, because you're not going to get along with everybody. And your ex may fit into that category that you don't get along with. And so for us, well, we fit in that category. Sadly, we did. We just simply could not get along. And that carried over to after the divorce. And so that's how I landed with focusing on that aspect of co-parenting when it's high conflict or when it's difficult, when it doesn't feel good. What does that side look like? Because everybody's not going to get along. And that's okay as long as the focus is still on the child kind of thing. So that's kind of where I landed with wanting to help others with that, because the more and more research that I did, I found that people were kind of hungry for resources like that. And the surprising thing about it was there were not a lot of resources for them talking about this subject, because for so long they've thought, oh, I got to get along with him. I got to get along with her. I got to make this work. And they're like forcing themselves to get along with someone and not dealing with setting boundaries. Those are the things that I really focus on. And again, it's not a matter of being selfish or lazy or any of those things. It's really coming inward. Again, you know, I mentioned that a little bit earlier, really coming inward and dealing with you first. And then when you deal with you first, you're able then to deal with others that you come in contact with.
Powerful words, because we don't talk a lot about high conflict divorces. You'll see it sometimes with your celebrities. But yes, there's a lot more of your average person out there that's going through this than celebrities. And we don't have those conversations. And when you think about it, marriage is 50% and sometimes more now, you know, statistically, end up in divorce. There are more people hanging out that probably have more conflict, and they don't know how to, you know, they actually don't know how to deal with it, which means they're probably taking it out on who? The children.
Absolutely.
And the children didn't sign up for it.
No, didn't want any part of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, another key message is, you know, not using the child as like a messenger. The child, that's not the purpose of the child, to carry back and forth, you know, messages between, you know, you and your ex. That's not the child's focus. So, you know, I really strive hard, you know, in each piece that I write, I want the foundational message to be, you know, you're working on you. You have to start there before you can even think about changing your ex. Because that's a thing. A lot of people think that they can change the ex, right? And it's like, well, you couldn't change him when you were married. So why can you change him now? How can you change him now? And that's, you know, that's just not even possible. But there is one thing you can change. One thing. And that's you. That is you. And then once you make that change, watch how other things, other people that you come in contact with, watch how those relationships, those change as well.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So the only thing you can change is you. So for those of you who are listening and watching, you need to really take a look in the mirror. See who you're pointing the finger at. Are you pointing the finger at the ex, or even if you're married now, maybe you're pointing the finger at your spouse.
Yep.
And ask that hard question, maybe I should turn the finger around and start dealing with the Y-O-U first and get that right.
Absolutely. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting here saying that, but that's really hard to do. And, you know, I remember going back to that time, and I can't believe that this year will be 10 years. I cannot believe it. And so going back to that time, I think about, you know, when the light bulb moment kind of happened for me, because I immediately knew after getting divorced, I knew I needed to go through the 5 stages of grief. I knew I needed to do that because I didn't want to jump in a new relationship immediately, because I knew that that wouldn't be the right fit. So there was something that I knew I had to handle within myself. And so I went through the 5 stages of grief, and it's so easy for me to say it now, but that's very painful. That is very painful, because one thing I tell people, want people to realize, is that, okay, you get a divorce, that's fine. What you don't realize is you're getting divorced, but it honestly feels like a limb is being cut from you. Now, even if you didn't like the person while you guys were married, it still feels like a piece of you is literally being cut away from your body. And that's very painful. And so I forcefully went through the 5 stages of grief. So I acknowledged my anger. I dealt with it, all those type things. And I came out a better person. Now, this was not an overnight process. It wasn't. I wish it was. But it wasn't. I just remember days where I didn't know how I was going to make it through the day emotionally. And then it's like, how do you shield your children from seeing you, you know, wanting to break down or going ahead and breaking down, right? So that's very hard. However, the end result, I wouldn't change a step of anything I did. The end result was so much better, so much better.
Mm. And it's actually walking through the fire that gets you to the other side.
Absolutely. And now this is, you know, going back, I remember my ex and I, we stayed in the same house until the divorce was final. We went to the same church. If you were looking at us from the outside, you would not have suspected anything was going on, because it was our everyday normal life. However, we were getting divorced, you know? So, and then even after we got divorced, we were still going to the same church and everything. And I would have people come up and say, you guys are divorced, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you still come to, because to me, my relationship with God really had nothing to do with, it's between me and God, not between me and my ex and God, me and God, right? So I'm like, yeah, I still go to the same church, yes. And so, you know, those were painful. They couldn't see it, but inside, man, that hurt a lot. That was very painful. But again, I would not change a single thing about how this all happened. I would not.
You're such a beautiful soul, Tiffany. I can just hear how God has healed your heart over time. And, you know, for you to go back, I did not realize it's going to be 10 years, and reflect on that. Hats off to you. I don't think people who have gone through traumatic events, whether it be a divorce, that's traumatic. You just talked about you went through the 5 stages of grief. It's traumatic. Whether Yep. it's a loss of a child, a loss of a mother or a father, all of these events, sometimes we need to stop for a moment and cut the noise and reflect back and say, what did I learn from that? Look how far I've really come. And give yourself credit for what you and the work that you've done along with God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I think that, you know, I know that it strengthened me. It prepared me for my husband, because, you know, when he and I met 6 years ago, I said, wow, why didn't I meet you like 10 years ago or 15 years ago? And then I heard the voice say, you weren't ready. You were not ready for him 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And, you know, when you hear the voice, or at least when I hear the voice, I do kind of want to argue a little bit. But then it's like, you know, as I open my mouth to say something, it's like, you're right. You're right. Because I was not ready. I was a totally different. My mindset was completely different. And it would not have fit with my husband. So, you know, everything happens in its due time. That is a very true statement. I wanted to make sure that I was ready, because I knew I didn't want to be divorced again. Didn't want to go through that again. So I wanted to make sure that I was ready. And then keep in mind, I had 2 kids. So it's like, okay, I have to think about them. How are they going to interact in jail? You know, how are we going to do this kind of thing? And so, honestly, that's how I know that it was God. That's how I know it was God, because my kids immediately gelled to my husband. Like, I didn't have to do anything, but they immediately, you know, gelled with him. And so that right there is truly a blessing, because, I mean, you hear it all the time. Blended families, how they don't get along, they fight, the stepfather doesn't like, you know, it just goes on and on. And I'm sitting here like, wow, we've never had to deal with any of that. That's crazy. We've never had to deal with anything crazy as far as blending our family. So definitely a blessing.
Very much a blessing. What was one of the pivotal points that you learned about yourself going through the divorce?
Oh, wow. It probably was that I was a lot stronger than I even thought that I was. Because, you know, prior to the divorce, you know, I was kind of a quiet person. I didn't challenge things a whole lot. I didn't really speak up a whole lot. Didn't really voice my opinion a whole lot. Going through that period in my life, though, I mean, I credit, and this probably will sound crazy, but I actually credit the divorce for a lot of things now, good credit of how I am and how I approach things now. And, you know, realizing that my voice has value, you know, that I bring something to the table. And so that's probably the biggest thing is, well, I named a lot of things there, but that I'm much stronger than I ever thought. Like I don't even think anyone in my family had ever really gone through a divorce. A lot of my family members, even if they had conflict in their marriages, they would just stay together. You know, they would stay together and they would have the solid home front, but then they would have their own kind of like individual lives kind of thing. So they stay together. And, you know, me being able to do that, it's like, okay, you know, wow. I had a family member say to me, you know, you did something that I just should have done, but I just never had the courage to do it kind of thing. So that definitely, that is a byproduct of the divorce, is that I'm a whole lot stronger than I even thought I could be.
Amen. God does work in mysterious ways. Who would have thought that a divorce would bring you to where you are today?
Absolutely. Because I know, you know, a lot of people hear divorce, especially a lot of times believers, Christians, it's usually a condemning thing. It's usually, you know, well, did you try? You didn't try hard enough. Did you, you know, you weigh it, all these things, you try to weigh those things. And, you know, that can be hard because that's just something hard to have to go through. So, you know, I was able to get through all of that because I honestly believe, you know, one of the things that I remember is that when God talks to you, he talks to you in the way that you talk our everyday, how you and I are sitting here talking, right? So that's how he talks to me. He talks to you in a different way. You know what I mean? So I know through my relationship with him what he had for my life. And it just so happened that it involved a divorce.
And for you not to hold on to the shame, the guilt, even the anger, that means that you have let it go, you've given it to God, and you have moved on, which has made you actually a better person and able to serve your family so much greater. I mean, the capacity of your heart has grown double.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned that, actually. I do find that I get a lot of questions about a lot of different things now, with divorce and co-parenting and everything from my family. I actually, you know, I get phone calls and text messages. Hey, what do you do when so-and-so? And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. This is, that's pretty cool that, you know, they've seen what I've been able to do. And now they trust, you know, the advice that I can give out to them. So that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. So let's jump into co-parenting and what you term parallel parenting, which I find is fascinating. Can you give us the definition and how this all works?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So, you know, when I first ran across the term parallel parenting, the word parallel stuck out to me. And it immediately took me back to elementary school when we learned about parallel and perpendicular lines. Yes. Those. That would be them. Yes. And I don't like math. So I immediately, I was like, oh my God, parallel. Are you serious? So I kept researching it and everything because I think I did a Google search when I was trying to figure out how we were going to do this. And I think I may have typed in, you know, when you don't get along with your ex or something like that. And that came up in the search. I clicked on it and I was like, oh, wow, this fits. Like, this is us, seriously. And I started comparing it to co-parenting. And so, you know, even though you parallel parent, you're still really co-parents. You're just co-parents with high conflict, right? And so that is what it is, because when you think of the parallel lines, they're running in the same direction, right? They never cross. They never touch. They're just going in the same direction. And so when you apply that to parenting with an ex, it's the same thing. You both have the same end goal, which is parenting. However, you're not going to influence each other's parenting abilities. And so when you think about it, you know, when the child is spending time with the dad, well, the mom is not going to have any influence over what time the child goes to bed while they're at dad's house, because dad's the adult. You know, he can make those decisions, and you have to trust him to make those decisions. Give him the breath and space to be able to parent without interfering. And so because of the high conflict between the two parents, that's why you want that setup where they're not influencing what happens in each other's homes. And so that really is the basic concept of parallel parenting. You're parenting independent of each other.
That's actually a really good term, and probably one that would really help people to understand, well, gosh, I really do hate my spouse. We don't get along, you know? In fact, I know some couples, unfortunately, who divorce, even just separate. They are using your mediators to come in, whether it's a sister, an auntie, a grandma, or something, because they just can't be in the same room with each other.
Absolutely. And that happens as well. So it's not something where, you know, you have to go back to court and say, well, I want a parallel parenting plan. You don't even have to take it to that step. You can start right here today and say, you know what? I'm going to start applying parallel parenting concepts to my relationship with my child's father. And so that could be something as simple as not having in-person communication. Because of the high conflict that you have with each other, then you guys need to just talk through email. Let's just communicate through maybe text or email. Because when you're in person with each other, you're like this. Email, plain and simple. But now, even if you send emails, you have to send a particular type of email, right? So because, you know, I send you an email, we're different. You're going to interpret that email a little bit different, right? So you're going to put your own tone on it, even though that's probably not what I meant. You will interpret it differently. And so even when you're just communicating through email, you do want to follow a certain format, and you want to stick to the facts, only the facts, no emotions, just the facts.
And no emojis.
Yes. No emojis.
A fiery devil could look something emojis. Totally different.
Emojis get people in trouble. No.
I could just see it, you know? You got all these things going, and one person's like, oh my gosh, they're going to come and do something drastic. And they're like, no, I'm just trying to express to you that I had a bad day.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And see, that's the key, because we all interpret things so differently, right? And so that's why, you know, if you're going to communicate by email, stick to the facts, because it's kind of hard to argue facts. So, you know, that's one of the foundational pieces of parallel parenting. You want to make sure that you're responding and not reacting. So it's one of the things my husband kind of introduced me to, is because he'll say, you know, this seems like an emotional powder keg moment. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. What is that? And he went on to explain, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. That's actually good, because you want to respond to your child's father or mother, but you don't want to react to it. And really, you can apply that concept to any relationship, not just, you know, with an ex or whatever. So you want to make sure that you're not reacting to something they said or something they did. Respond instead. So those are some key foundational parts to parallel parenting.
One that we all need to take into our relationships, whether we're divorced, married, searching, dating, it can apply completely. Okay, absolutely. So we've got to get into your authorship now.
Yeah. Yay!
The book launched 2 days ago. And the cool thing is you can go to the show notes, and we will have all the links for you as to how to connect with Tiffany, where you can purchase the book, because the book is called Lose the Cape. And I just think it's great, because as you know, the cover of our podcast has a woman on it with a cape. I love it because we truly feel like we have to be Superwoman, Wonder Woman, whatever woman you want to call yourself, the be all, spend all, and we're the busy bee. We have to be busy, 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 busy. Yet yep. You're writing in this book, and it's called Lose the Cape. Ain't nothing but a teen thing.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Because you know, when you're raising teens and tweens, you think, oh my God, I gotta be the only one going through this. There is no other person on earth that could possibly be going through this but me. And so, you know, you want, the purpose of the book was to help women, parents, dads, help those raising teens and tweens to not feel that they're on an island. We've all been there, right? And so the book is, it's comprised of a lot of different stories. You got some funny stories in there as well. And it's almost like a chicken soup for the soul. That's what I kind of think of when I look at it. That's what I think of it. It fits that category. So you've got a lot of parents who are coming forth to tell what it was like for them. For me, you know, I have the 22-year-old and then I have the 12-year-old. So there's a 10-year gap, age difference, right? A lot changed in 10 years from when I had my son. It was like being a new mom all over again, right? All these new gadgets, which I was excited about the gadgets because I was like, these are pretty cool. It's just like a smorgasbord of stories of raising these teens and tweens.
Oh, and your chapter is actually called, I love this, Tampons, Pads, Mood Swings, Oh My. Bring on the lions, the tigers, the scarecrow. I mean, you got it. We're here, and it is a little scary when we have to talk about this stuff. And flow or your period or whatever you call her, auntie, some people, maybe it's grandma, I don't know. We have a weird relationship with menstrual cycles.
Yes, we do. We do. You know, I felt like I wanted to talk about this because, again, I could not have possibly been the only person on earth that had this situation when I started my menstrual cycle. So I remember it so well because I was 12. Same age as my daughter is right now. And I was on the playground because, yeah, we played on playgrounds back in the 80s or whatever, right? So on the playground and, you know, it happened. It. And I remember getting home and, you know, talking to my mom about it. And I think I wanted her to have the same level of excitement that I had. She didn't. So she basically gave me the pad and was like, here you go. And so I wanted a little bit more, so I stood there. But then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get any more than this, so let me just go on my merry way, right? Because my mom is not a warm, fuzzy type mom, right? So that fit her. So I was like, okay, all right. And then I think at that point, I was like, all right, I'm vowing right now. When I grow up, and if I have a daughter, this is not going to happen like this. This is going to be totally different, which could be good or bad because now I have to make sure I have to pump my brakes because it's like, am I doing too much? You know, am I? And I'll tell you what I mean by doing too much because I'm known to do too much, right? So we've created these little, I call them period pouches, right? So they're these cute little bags and they've got like little pads in them and some wipes and an extra pair of underwear and, you know, this little pouch. So she puts it in her backpack. It's in her locker at school. She was away at sleepaway camp last week. I snuck one in there and she caught me though. And she was like, really, really, mom? And I'm like, yes, because it could happen. You never know when it's going to happen. And so that was like the basis of my contribution to the book series because I wanted other parents to be equipped with you know, well, what do we talk about? You know, you're saying I should talk to her about a period. What are we going to talk about? And so I kind of outlined different things for parents to talk about with their girls.
Well, what would be some advice that you would give those moms and even dads listening who are at this point are coming close? Because nowadays, girls are getting on their menstrual cycle a lot earlier than 15, 20 years ago even. And, it, you know, it's moving up. It's now into the elementary. We're talking fourth and fifth graders now, not fifth into sixth and seventh graders.
Yep.
What would you, what's some advice you would give them? Because, you know, it is kind of disturbing. It's kind of this weird that you can't control it. It's a bodily function. We name it names, but we've got to be serious because this stuff doesn't go away. It's with us basically almost for more of our majority of life. We have our menstrual cycle.
Exactly. You know, this advice probably, well, not probably, is helpful for dads or and mom boys, moms that have boys, because I think boys should know, maybe not a lot of detail, but they do also need to know, you know, what this is and why it happens kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So probably the best advice would be to have bite-sized conversations with your kids about this, right? Because you don't want it to be a lecture, because you know how we feel about lectures, right? It starts off and then it just goes down, right? We stop listening pretty much. It's boring. We don't want to hear that. So bite-sized conversations. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're driving them to school or whatever, you know, insert a little conversation there when you're cooking dinner. You're all the when you're watching TV together and watching TV actually has given me some of the best times to insert these conversations, right? So we talk about not just the menstrual cycle, but all things puberty. My daughter and I just finished watching, well, we binge watched a series. I think it was, I can't remember what channel or network it was on, but it's called Switched at Birth, I think. Mm-hmm. Really great series, actually. And at first, my husband was like, are you really watching that with her? Because some of the episodes got a little racy a little bit. And he's like, you think that's a good idea to watch? And I'm like, actually, it's great because we're watching it together. And it's allowing me to really explain what she's seeing because I want her to get it from me, the truth, rather than get it from her friends who've never experienced really anything, right? So it gave me the opportunity to insert those bite-sized conversations about puberty, menstrual cycles, and all this kind of thing. So that probably, that is the advice that I would give parents. Just make it bite-sized morsels.
And I would add to that, if they're gamers, and if it's the dad with the boys, or even the mom with the boys, there's stuff on those games that,
absolutely,
you know, women are dressed a certain way. They've got the women characters. Use that opportunity. Comments are being made to really interject those bite size. Again, I agree with you. Don't lecture them because you'll lose them after the first 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Because you already know their attention span is like that of a gnat, right? It's very short. So you have to get in whatever little window you can get in. So definitely make it bite-sized.
That's right. And it also allows you to have that consistent storyline. Yes. So as you come together, then they're going to put the pieces of the puzzle together for themselves. And they're not having to listen to a two-hour lecture, you know, in one day. They're getting it over a lifetime of maybe a year.
Exactly. And that's what you want, because that's also going to help with having that open dialogue between the two of you as they grow, right? Because ultimately, that's what you want. You don't want the child to be afraid to say something to you or tell you something they did. You don't want that. So having those bite-sized conversations, it's like just having the door constantly open, that open door policy, I guess you could call it. So they know, I trust my mom. She's not going to lie to me. She's going to tell me the truth. And they walk right in. And that spans, I mean, my son's 22 and we're still having these little bite-sized conversations. So
yes, and you want to continue those. I too have experienced this with my oldest daughter, and when she was in high school and she graduated then was going off to college, she's like, Mom, I need to talk to you about some things. So we talked about the influence. She was going to move out after a freshman year and go get her own apartment. And she was like, Mom, I'm concerned. What if I'm with a boy and something happens? What should I really be doing? And I love that she came to me. Yes. She didn't go to her friend. She didn't go on her own. She's over 18. She could have gone to the doctors. And the doctors cannot tell you anything. It's privileged information. It's confidential. And so I love that when you are able to serve your children in these bite-sized capacities, it allows their, you know, brain to be more heightened to what you have, which is the truth and the morals that you want to give them. And so you are living and creating this legacy within them at just such a young age.
Absolutely. And I mean, I found this quote, and it says, be who you needed when you were younger. And I'm like, wow, now that really resonates with me, because I look back on my childhood, and my childhood was fine. There just needed to be a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, some of this, less of that kind of thing, right? And I look back on that, and it's like, okay, that's what I'm going to do then. I'm going to be who I needed when I was 12 or 22, right? And so that's really, that kind of like drives me to kind of do the things that we do with each other. You know, I want to make sure that I'm present in their lives. I catch myself if I'm on my phone or whatever, you know, I'm like, oh, wait, I've been on here for too long. Let me go do something or say something to her, you know, to let her know I'm present. I'm not checking out or anything, just being mindful of that. And that's a task, though. That's really hard today because of all the distractions that we have. And then it's like, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't have all of these cool toys to play with. So, you know, I kind of overindulge a little bit, but, you know, I try to be mindful to get back to being present.
Well, you're a very inspiring mother, Tiffany. And I love what you're doing on beunrehearsed.com. It's truly inspirational, and you're really allowing other people to shine their light and to grow where they need to in parenting. And so for that, thank you so much.
No, thank you. No, because, you know, earlier we talked about how you and I got connected and everything. And honestly, you have been an inspiration to me. Like I said, I listen to you every morning. And you have. And now sometimes I will admit, when you say something that either I'm doing and I need to stop doing, I'm kind of like, let me turn her off for right now.
That's okay.
No. You have really inspired me to move in the directions that I'm moving.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I love that you're just part of the family. One thing, though, I mean, you write about, you speak about this whole idea of being the best mom to the tween, the teen. What has your tween taught you?
Wow. You know, that is a great question, and it's such a great question that probably about a year ago I wrote a post on that, because she has taught me so much. Part of how I'm able to do the things that I'm doing now is because of her. She's an extrovert and I'm an introvert. She likes to be front, noticed, you know, just social butterfly and all of this. This was a few years ago. She was a Girl Scout and we went camping. So neither one of us had ever been camping. So went camping without her troop. So we pretty much went on our own, right? We didn't know anyone. We knew no one there. And so we get there and I'm unloading the cart and everything. Well, she's gone. And it's like, well, wait, where are you going? She goes and she made friends with a whole set of girls. She didn't know them. And so came, you know, we're about to have dinner and everything. And she comes back and she's like, oh, I'm going to be in the talent show tomorrow night with those girls. And I'm like, wow, you just met those girls though. And she's like, oh no, it's fine. We've already practiced and everything. And I'm like, wow. And so when I look at that, it's like, man, she just takes it. She just goes for it. She doesn't even think about the repercussions, or she doesn't overthink like I do, right? So she inspires me to step out and do these things, right? So, I mean, even at 12, she's very outspoken, something that I wasn't at 12. She's very outspoken, and she's fun. Like, she has flat out fun. She doesn't care about who's watching, who doesn't like it. If she wants to turn this cartwheel right here, right now, on this grass, she's gonna do it, right, kind of thing. And that, I sit back and I look at that, and I'm like, wow, I really wish I could be more like that. And I find myself really getting out there and pushing myself to be those types, to do those types of things. So she has taught me to really not have any fear, kind of thing, because she's like a fearless little being, right? I shouldn't say little anymore, because we're the same height now. We're the exact same height. We wear the same size shoe she's 12. I'm like, wow. So she's really fearless. And so that's probably like the number one thing that she's taught me.
That's awesome. I think our children can be our best teachers in life if we just pause long enough to listen. I know I've been scolded a few times by my minis, and oh my goodness, it's a blessing though. When you really think about it and you step back, it's an honor, it's a gift to have a child, and it's also a blessing to learn from that child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look over the past 12 years, and my son, he'll say some things, and he'll say, wow, you never did that when I was 12. And I'm like, I wasn't the same person back then when you were 12 or whatever. So that makes it a little bit different, you know, and parenting boy versus girl. I mean, that's just obviously very different anyway. And then their personalities are so different. He has more of my personality. He's introverted, quiet. She's like the opposite of that. She's completely opposite of that. So, and it can make it challenging as well, but it makes it fun though.
Well, that's awesome. I love what our children can teach us, and I would encourage those with children to perk their ears up a little bit more. Be mindful of their reaction and responses to what we say, because we can learn a lot from them.
Absolutely.
Well, where has God challenged you in co-parenting?
Oh, wow. It's really challenging when you know that you should really work hard to get along with someone, and when you have that person coming against you so hard, the harder you try, the harder they push back. That's very challenging. I have to always be mindful of kind of like not returning a tit for a tat kind of thing. And that's very hard, because a lot of times the flesh wants what the flesh wants, right? And you have your spirit though saying something, you know, don't go that way. That's not going to end well kind of thing. And so that's very challenging. A lot of times I want to respond a certain way, and then when I step back and look, and I'm like, oh, that's not a response, Tiffany. That's actually a reaction. So I weigh it against, you know, I'll use my husband as a sounding board kind of thing. And he's like, yeah, you probably don't want to say that. You don't send that. Don't click send, right? So just the whole being, what's the word? The tit for tat kind of thing. I think that's probably the biggest challenge that I've faced during this whole time.
God has taught you a lot. He's brought you through the fire, and look at the blessings He has bestowed on your life.
I know. I wouldn't change a single step, you know, getting here. When I think about it, it's like, oh gosh, I wish I didn't go through that. But honestly, I'm kind of glad that I did go through some of the things I went through. Now, mind you, they were painful going through them. They were. However, I like this other side that I'm on so much better. and just the way that I've been able to not to change myself, but to impact others that I come in contact with as well. So that's a huge blessing. I got a message from someone. She was in Ireland, and she sent me a message, and she said, you know, I want to thank you for your articles that you write on parallel parenting. And she said, you know, one of the posts that I wrote, I listed out some steps. And she said, I printed that out and put it on my refrigerator so that I could constantly see it, you know, to get it in my mind to sink in so that I can start, you know, applying this to my relationship with my child's father. And so it's like, just when you think you're not reaching people or whatever, because I have those moments where it's like, God, why am I writing? Because nobody's reading it. Nobody's doing anything with it. Right when that happens, then I get messages like that. And so it's like, wow, that really makes it worthwhile. That really makes it worthwhile, because I don't want people to go through hurt, pain, but I know that's part of life. I mean, I get that. So anything I can do to kind of take away just a tiny piece of that pain, a tiny piece of that hurt, that's what I want to do.
What encouragement would you give that woman who's in that position right now going, I don't like where I'm at. I feel like I'm in the fire. How in the world can I get to the other side? I want to have the growth. I want to feel the blessings that you're feeling, Tiffany.
Honestly, I think it goes back to what we talked about before. You have to come inward. The work has to start inward before you can see any change with another person, another situation in your life. You got to come inward. And so what that's going to mean, though, is hard work. That's going to mean, I mean, you may have to cut certain things out of your life. It may come down to that point. But all of it it comes back to you, though, inward. You're going to have to heal yourself. You're going to have to start taking care of yourself. You know, don't feel guilty for, you know, going to get a mani-pedi, right? If that's how you like to do self-care. Don't feel guilty for taking a nice bubble bath. Nothing to feel guilty about. It may mean you focusing on you for a little bit of time in order to do that inward work. That's going to mean research. You know, you're going to have to research, well, how do I do this? Especially if you don't have the people around you at that moment who can help get you there. May have to cut them loose, commit to doing it. Because, I mean, the first step is acknowledgement. You've got to acknowledge, I think I'm broken on the inside. I think I'm broken. So you have to come inward in order to fix that brokenness. No one else is going to be able to do that. No one else. Only you.
Beautiful words. Words that everyone needs to take to heart today. Whether it's going and picking up, you know, your brand new book, Lose the Cape, or it's going to your blog. Of course, we will have all this information in the show notes. But Tiffany, you are truly a beacon of light.
Thank you. That means so much coming from you. Yes, thank you.
You deserve it. Also, I know people are going to want to connect with you, and they're going to be like, I want to dig a little bit deeper. I need to understand this parallel parenting thing, which I'm sure a lot of people have never heard of it. You know, honestly, I don't think I personally, when I read it, I was like, parallel parenting, what's that? And so it intrigued me. Where could people connect with you?
Well, the first up could be at my blog, which is beunrehearsed.com. And then on all social media, I am known as Unrehearsed Tiff. So that's Instagram, that's Twitter, that's Facebook, that's Pinterest. Just typing in that handle will bring up my profiles on all social media.
Fabulous. And again, we will have all that information in the show notes for you all. Well, I have one last question for you, which I know you know this last question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Wow. My story has gifted me a life where I finally feel comfortable being in my own skin. You know, yesterday we launched the book, Lose the Cape, Ain't Nothing But a Teen Thing. And, you know, we did a lot of Facebook Live segments yesterday. And, you know, that was one of the things someone talked about is when they first started writing, they tried to be the Pinterest mom. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, wow, I know her because I tried to be her too. And it just didn't work. It did not work. It didn't fit. It's like trying to take a square peg and put it into a circle, right? A circle hole. It didn't fit. And so my story has brought me to this place where I'm good in my own skin. I don't look to try to be like anyone else because I like me. Like, I actually like me. Saying that, you don't know what a big step that is to say that. I actually like me. And guess what? I'm okay with, if no one else does, that's fine. Because now I've learned that their reaction, that's theirs. None of my business how they perceive me or whatever. That's their own reality that they've come up with. Doesn't need to affect how I feel about myself. So that's what my story brought me to that. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm good.
I love you, girl. You're just, I'm hugging you across the airways.
Oh my gosh. I love you. And if you are ever in Georgia, please let me know.
Oh, I will definitely do that. Every once in a while, I make a trip.
All right.
So we will have to get together. Well, one of these days, we will have you back on. I cannot wait to see what God has in store for your life. I know it's going to be way beyond anything you can imagine. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.